All right, it's crazy. I got to share a dream with you guys right quick. I wasn't going to until Holy Spirit spoke to me a while ago when I was wrecked in the floor over here because he just showed up, guys. Don't just shrug that off. That was God. And hopefully you all was so wrecked you didn't even notice me too. So, but it's crazy. Friday night, I knew was going to be preaching for a while, but Friday night I didn't have anything. I was just praying God and seeking God on what to preach. So I went to bed and I had a dream that night, and we was in church Sunday morning, and I was standing up on the pew. Everybody was worshiping. I had my Bible in my hand. I knew that I was expecting to be preaching that morning, and on my heart was James chapter 1 in the dream. James chapter 1 was what I was going to be preaching about. And in the dream, everybody was worshiping. I knew that I was getting ready to be preaching. And it's crazy. James chapter 1, what's on my heart is trials, tribulations, walking in victory over them. And first thing we sing, I didn't consult this with Pat, is Eye of the Storm and Raise a Hallelujah. So that's God right there. But anyways, I was in the dream, and I was praising and worshiping. And then during the dream, there was a guy standing behind me, a young guy, glowing in the Spirit. And I didn't understand this to just now when Holy Spirit spoke to me, but he said, but he was there, and I was getting ready to preach, and Joel came up to me and said, Jeremy, this guy's preaching. And he was behind me. He was a young guy. I was like, man, I'm ready. Like, what's going on? And he said, this guy's preaching. But anyways, I woke up, and I'm like, okay, God, I'm still going to go with James chapter 1. I mean, any word is true, right? I mean, your word is true, so I'll go with James chapter 1. And I was worshiping him just a minute ago. He spoke to me and said, Jeremy, that was me. That was me, that guy that Joe let preach, that was Holy Spirit. He spoke to me. It's not me preaching, guys. He's preaching. He's speaking. And I was all ready to preach, but Joe come up and said, nope, he's preaching. It was Holy Spirit speaking to me, guys, that he is the one leading this show. We're just donkeys he rides in on. We just get to be the usher of his presence. He gets all the glory. That's why I can stand up here now, like, and I'm free, man. I'm free. Like, I used to be so nervous. Mike knows my first sermon lasted like 6 minutes. I come up here and I had like notes after notes, and I preached wholeheartedly for 6 minutes, and I'm like, well, Mike, I'm done. That's all I got. But that was before I really knew who I was. That was before I was free from myself. But when I get up here, I'm not up here self-conscious. I'm free from self. So the way you look at me, the way you see me, doesn't matter. It's all about him. And when you get that revelation, you're not afraid to preach the name of Jesus. Because what's the worst can happen? He can stone me, right? You can stone me, you guys? It's we got to lay down our life, deny ourselves, pick up our cross and follow him. Everything we do is all about him. And when you get that revelation in your mind, then life is free. Life is free. It's not about me. And that's why I'm in James chapter 1. April, you lost my spot. Yeah. No. Won't do that. Yeah. I'm not real good at finding my chapters yet, so yeah. Okay, I'm there. James chapter 1, if you have your Bible. But let's just start off. Let's just pray. Everybody put their hands on their heart. And just repeat after me. Let's just say, Jesus, teach me. Jesus, I want to look like you. I want to walk like you. In Jesus' name. Amen. See, that's what we're doing. We want to open up our hearts. We want to leave here. See, that's what God's brought me to James chapter 1. This past couple months, all I've heard, and it was been going on in my life, is the trial, the trial, the trial, the trial. So many Christians going through stuff, and man, it's real stuff. It's all I've heard, though. My family, us, intermediate family, my sisters, my brother, everybody going through stuff, and the enemy is so going after the believers. And see, the trial, James in verse 2 said, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. He had a revelation, guys. I don't believe he's just saying that. Let's just try to count it all joy. No, he was in a place that he counted it joy. When no matter what come up against him, he counted it joy. And see, that's what God, it's like I was even in the victim mindset for a little bit. Where it got about me. God, what's going on? Why is this happening to me? This is so much stuff I don't know if I can handle. I got in that mindset, and it seems right, but it's wrong. It's wrong. See, we need to quit speaking about the mountain and speak to the mountain. We need to quit talking about the trial. See, Jesus said these mountains are removed. Speak to the mountain, and without doubt, it will be moved. We have to quit talking about it and speak to it. We have to quit saying, glorifying this mountain in our words, and we don't even realize it. With all the stuff going on, see, the trial, the mountain in your life, I know everybody in here can probably think of something right now that they've been through the past little bit or something going on right now in their life that has been crushing them. And see, if we can change our perspective, change the way we see, we'll change the way we think, we'll change the way we'll believe, and we'll change the way we live. But we have to fine-tune our perspective and see from a different angle. See, Jesus said, if you see, how's the verse go? I know you know it. It just come to me. You see from a pure place. If your eye's good, your whole body will be good. If you see clear, you'll be full of light. And this is what the trial is about. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let the patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. Everybody say nothing. Lacking nothing. See, when you squeeze an orange, what comes out? Orange juice. If I squeezed an orange and an apple juice come out, it would be weird, right? Right? Why is it when a Christian gets squeezed, everything but Jesus comes out? Why is it when pressures of life comes at us, fear, doubt, and worry come out? Guys, do you all picture Jesus sitting on the Mount of Olives, sitting up here and saying, Peter, I don't know. I mean, I do good. I heal their sick. I cast out their demons. But they don't repay me. I don't know what's going on. Like, I mean, I raised their dead for crying out loud. And even you, Peter, you're going to leave. You're going to stray when they come after me. I just can't do it. I just can't go to the cross. I'm just so discouraged, Peter. I'm just so down. Do you all see that in the life of Jesus? If it's not in the life of Jesus, it shouldn't be in our life. Jesus said, follow me. That's not just don't go to a bad movie, don't say a cuss word. That means the way he lived his life is available to me. When he was on the boat, when he was in the boat and asleep, the storm arose and the disciples was freaking out, man. They was going crazy in fear and in worry and freaking out, and Jesus was asleep on the boat. And see, we read that story. Most of us place ourselves in the shoes of the disciples and say, whenever trials come, Jesus comes and calms the storm. He does. But he wants you to speak to it. He lives in you. What did he do? He corrected them for their fear. He didn't say, come here, let me be your hero. He said, if you knew who you was, you could have spoke to it. You could have spoke to the storm. You could have calmed the storm. See, Jesus, but the thing is, we can only give, we can only release what we have. And if we're not living in peace, we can't speak to a chaotic storm and cause it to be still. Jesus had nothing but peace, and he spoke to the storm, and what was in him was greater than what was in the world, and the storm ceased. Peace, he said. Peace. And his disciples was freaking out. He said, you faithless and perverse generation, you could have spoke to the storm. But most Christians ain't got peace. They're going to pieces. Most of us in the storm go to pieces instead of peace. See, guys, I believe we're going to leave here this morning changed. I believe we're going to leave here transformed and walk out the door. Your circumstance may not be changed, but you will. Your circumstance may look the same, but the way you go through it and about it is going to be different. And you're going to raise a hallelujah. You're going to raise a hallelujah in the middle of the storm. Why? See, it says we overcome by what? The word? The blood? What's the one everybody leaves out? Blood of the Lamb, word of her testimony, and not loving your own life unto death. See, through the garden we inherited self. When we sinned, we inherited self. It became all about us. When it was never supposed to be, it was supposed to be all about Him. And we're supposed to lay down our life, not love my own life. The three Hebrew children, Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, when the king came to them and said, I'm going to throw you in the fire if you don't bow to my God, they didn't say, oh no, that big hot steaming fire. They didn't glorify the fire. They pointed to their God. They said, I won't bow to your image, O king. Even if you don't deliver me from the fire, I won't. What if your circumstance doesn't change? Are you willing to still live for Him? Is it about you or is it about Him? What if I walk out this door and this circumstance keeps piling on me and it doesn't change? Will you still love Jesus? Will you still follow after Him? Will you still take up your cross? Trust me, Jesus, guys, is... just think of this. He done nothing wrong. Perfect. I bet you all have not been in... we've not been in this situation. Did everything right. Never made a mistake. Never failed. And was crucified. As if He did everything wrong. We do one thing wrong and we're like, man, it wouldn't me. No, no. He was crucified for it. So He understands. And Jesus didn't promise us, He didn't promise us that we wouldn't have trouble. He promises that He will be with us in the trouble. So, I'm not one of them people, I mean, people say like God sending the trial. I just like to see it like God's using the trial. The enemy, God didn't send the storm on Jesus and Him rebuke it. He can't rebuke His Father. It was from the enemy. And He rebuked it. God uses circumstances. I'm not saying that. But we have to get a perspective as this is not God coming at me. God's going to use it to form me though. God didn't make the fire the Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego was in. He didn't make it. But He used it to glorify Himself. You know, it's so crazy to me that the fire was so hot that as they walked towards it, the guards that had them there burn up. Before, I don't even understand, like, how did they get in the fire then? Did they burn up and I guess they fell over? I believe an angel kicked them in, myself. just to show God's glory. But really, in the fire, they didn't even come out smelling like smoke. They didn't even come out just singed. There's a place we can walk through the fire where we don't even smell like it. Where we don't live dragging it with us everywhere we go. I mean, I have trials in my life. I've had trials, and I don't forget them because I'm thankful for what God brought me through. But it doesn't own me anymore. I don't glorify it anymore. I glorify what He did in it. And see, this is what I've seen in the church. So much people beat down and broken, and I'm not being inconsiderate. I want to see us change. I want to encourage you guys. I want to see us look different. So when we go and people looks at you and they see what you're going through and they see the smile on your face and they see the walk in love you do and they're like, what is that? I want that. Because they have no hope in this world. There's a difference in knowing something and receiving in it and walking in it. See, like, you go to Walmart and you ask everybody in there, does God love you? 95% of the people will say yes. Unbelievers will know God loves them. Everybody knows Jesus loves me. But unless you make yourself a landing strip for His love, people say, I love your passion. They tell me that all the time. I'm like, it's a compliment, but we're all supposed to be passionate, guys, for Jesus. I just might believe what this word says. If you believe what this word says, and passion isn't a loud voice, an exciting tone. Passion is a lifestyle. Passion is a lifestyle where that song, if you don't come, it's pointless. If you're not here, there's no point. If you don't show up, I don't want to. I'm done. I want your presence. I want you, Jesus. And trust me, through the trial, God will reveal himself to you. And you will never trade it back. The stuff I went through, I would never take back. The stuff God revealed himself in, I would never say, I wish that didn't happen. Man, this is heavy stuff, right? This is good, though. We're going to leave here changed, transformed, renewed in our thinking, walking in him. He's good, guys. See, guys, we all go through stuff. I hear some people say, you know, but you don't know what I'm going through, or you don't know what I'm going through. Everybody thinks there's trials is harder than the person next to them. We all go through it. We all go through it, guys. And you may have had a hard thing going on in your life, but I promise there's people that somebody else has had a harder one. Jesus had a harder one. But he didn't go through. He wasn't just so discouraged. In the garden, he was on his knees. He was screaming out sweat and blood. But it wasn't as the fact of the trial so big. He had to be separated from his father, something he never encountered. That's what was so hard for him. I'm going to have to become sin and be separated from my father. Take this cup from me, God, if you will, he said. Let this pass. If there's any other way, I'll go through it. As long as I don't have to be separate from you. And he got up and shook off his feet and went on. Because he knew the Father's will. Because I believe, this is what I believe, as Jesus was beaten on the ground, sweat rolling down his face, saying, God, if there's any other way, please, 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 I don't want to be separated from you. I believe a picture of each and one of you all appeared in his mind. That's when he got up. He realized his purpose. And that's when he carried out his purpose. Because he knew the Father's will, but he knew the prize. And see, when you look at the trial like that, you see the prize to know him, to be formed in him, complete, lacking nothing. Where I leave that trial, that circumstance, looking like my Father, looking more like him. See, guys, you can't really... I'm here to say the trial, count it all joy. I think I've just heard that before. Count it all joy when you go through the trial. That's not, next time I get a trial, I'm going to call up Joe and say, hey, man, guess what? I got a trial. And Joe's going to be like, oh, man, I want one. Come on. And I'll be like, man, I tell you what, Joe. I'll let you ride mine with me this time if you let me ride yours with you next time. Right? We need each other, guys. We need each other. Come to each other. If I'm not here, if you are this person that's been beaten down by the trial, just get up. Now's the time to start with this mindset. Count it all joy. James, that sounds crazy, but it's true. Why would I count it all joy? Because the trial is going to refine me. It says going through the fire, you'll come out pure as gold. All the flesh, all the self, all the stuff that you're carrying with you, when you step out of that fire, is going to be left. It's going to be burnt up. But you'll come out not smelling like smoke. You'll come out walking in love, looking more like him, glorifying him, in a deeper walk with him. I know right now I wouldn't be here walking in this. I wouldn't be standing up right here right now if it wasn't for the trial, if it wasn't for what God brought me through. And see, I just ask, just don't hear me from a learning ear. Hear me from an ear like, I want to be transformed. I want to walk in this. I want this applied. See, knowledge puffs you up in the sense. See, wisdom is knowledge applied. Just knowledge not applied does you no good. I mean, gosh, this is so important to know this word, to memorize this word, to learn this word. But if it's not living through you, you've missed the point. It's called the living word. It's called the living word. It has to be living through me. I can know about Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego, but if I ain't letting that story live through me and me take the same integrity that they had and let it live through my life, it profits me none. I just know another story. I have to say, God, make me this. I weep at this word when I open it because we have to feed on this, guys. We have to feed on it. This shouldn't be a day, I'm not here to condemn, but this shouldn't be a day you go by that you're not in this word. There shouldn't be a day. There's not a day you go without eating unless you're fasting. You have to have this in the spiritual. And the good thing about the kingdom, see, in the world, the more you eat, you get full. The more you eat in the kingdom, the more hungry you get. The more you eat, the more you say, I want more Jesus. I want more Jesus. I want more Jesus. The upside down kingdom. It's reversed. It's reversed. The kingdom of this world is totally opposite of the kingdom of God. Thank God that the kingdom, the government of heaven doesn't shut down. It's always open for business. We can freak out about our worldly government shutting down, or we can live in one that never shuts down. My heart is wrecked, God, because He's so good. And I want to see the struggling victim mindset Christian. You don't have to walk that way. I did. I fell in the trap. You get self-conscious. You get focused on yourself and all my problems, and then you're worshiping the problem instead of God without realizing. Or you're afraid that this is not going to go through, or this is not going to go through. Fear is worship in a false God. Come on, we need to repent. We need to change the way we think. When I say repent, and when something comes at our... I'm not saying if something comes at you, you may feel the presence of fear. You may start to freak out if something heavy comes out. You lose a job or something comes on. You may start to freak out, but you turn to God and say, God, I thank you that you're my provider. I thank you, Father, that you guide my steps, that you take care of me, Father, and you're Lord. See, he didn't put out the fire because he don't have to put out what he's Lord over. He don't have to put out what he's Lord over. He's Lord over your circumstance. He's Lord over your problem. He's Lord over whatever. It could be something going on in your family. It could be anything. He's Lord over it. We have to get an eternal view. And it's all about him. Just imagine if you was going through this without him. Because it says that the storm comes to the wise and the unwise, the just and the unjust. So there's people out there in the storm without any anchor, without any foundation. See, here's what we do. A storm comes. The Bible says the wise man built his house upon the rock. And when the storm came, but what did he do before the storm came? He built his house upon the rock. I don't want to wait till the storm comes and then start putting up wood. You need to prepare yourself before the storm comes. Get ready in season and out of season. So when the storm comes, you're on the solid rock and you're unmovable and you're unshakable in his presence. This is not just some fairy tale. This is what we can live. The word says it. God is not a liar. And he would never call you to walk out something if he wouldn't give you the power to walk it out. On your own strength, you can never do it. But in relationship and intimacy with him, everything you read in that word is completely attainable and you can walk it out. I just want to see us rise up as a body and change. So we're such a holy bride that we look so different than this world. Guys, I don't care what you think about my preaching. I don't care if you think I did a good job. I want to see people transformed. I want to see people change. I mean it with all my heart. I don't care. I'm not up here preaching for me. God, I took like an F in high school for having to do something like public speaking. But guys, I'm not up here. People, we need to change. We need to be transformed. I'm not saying you may be the strongest Christian in this church right now, but there's more. There's more. And we need just sobering sometimes. Sometimes we get so focused on problems and on self that we forget who we are and who he is. And sometimes truth just comes and just washes out the muddy water and just clears our eyes so we can run well, so we can go after this gospel, so we can walk after this. I mean, I believe that New Hope is coming to New Hope. It's already here. I mean, God's been moving. It's in front of your face. Don't miss it. It's right there. It ain't just a fired up, feel good, chill bumps. Holy Spirit ain't chill bumps. Holy Spirit is a person. Holy Spirit isn't just a tingly feeling. He manifests, but He is a person. And He comes. What opens them doors to Holy Spirit is hunger. Hunger for God. Need for Him. Desperation for Him. See, that's one of the main purposes of the trial right there. Is, see, everybody in here that's been through a hard time in their life, it makes you desperate for God. All the trial does is try to point you to a place that you're supposed to live all the time. Desperate for God. Desperate for Him. Not living in complacency. Not getting settled in and just good. See, when I went through the hard things I went through, one of the hardest things I went through, I fell on my face and said, God, I can't live if I don't have You. I can't make it through this if I don't have You. And then when that trial, I walked through that trial, and everything, there wasn't what I would say is a trial. I was still in a place of desperation. He pointed me to a place, this is the place you're continually supposed to live. I'm hungry for You. I need You. I want You. I seek You. I pursue You day in and day out. When I feel bad, when I feel good, I'm pursuing You. I'm seeking You. My life is not my own. I'm not going to allow flesh to keep me from seeking my Father. I'm not going to allow feelings to keep me from seeking my Father. See, feelings are a good thing. They're good servants, but they're terrible masters. Feelings ain't supposed to own you. They're good at serving and helping you, but when they're not lining up, why is it our faith is shipwrecked? Living by faith is a privilege. Like, if you're not feeling good, great, you get to live by faith and shine. There's a shining, I mean, a declaration to the enemy. There's a kicking him in the face when you're not feeling good and you're still saying, God, I love You, I seek You, I pursue You, I want You, I'm going after You. And the enemy's like, this Christian's different. Most of the time I touch a Christian like this and they're like, Lord, help me. I'm on my knees praying in tongues, shaka baba. I'm rebuking every demon that comes my way. And the devil's sitting over like, see, look at him. He's so focused on me. It's James 4:7 says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. If you submit to God, He's resisted. I mean, you definitely rebuke him and cancel his work, but sometimes we get too devil focused. And we just need to submit to God. And when the enemy says, you ain't worth it. Father, I thank You that you thought I was worth it. Father, I thank You that You died. If I wasn't worth it, You wouldn't have hung Your Son on a cross for me. And the enemy goes, ah! He freaks out. What's going on? Then he runs over to Big Satan. And he says, I did it and it didn't work. What do I do now? What do I do now? And the devil says, try this. This button used to work all the time. And he runs back over here and he whispers in your ear. And you say, Father, I thank You that I am filled with Your Spirit. I thank You, Father. One of the biggest things is He brings past back. Father, I thank You that I'm not the man I used to be. I thank You, Father, that I used to live in that. It used to own me, but I'm free. I'm free from sin. I'm free from the mistakes I made. That man died on the cross with You. And the devil freaks out again. I believe that the church, God is rising up buttonless Christianity. So the enemy comes to push a button on you and there ain't no buttons. You look so much like Jesus that there's no buttons for Him to push. It's possible. It's possible. It's all how you react in the storm. See, the storm, most of the time, is just a false portraying of something. And the enemy wins you with his lies. He can speak all day, but unless you believe him, he has no power. He can whisper them lies all day. He can whisper you're not worth it, and the moment you say, I'm just not worth it, you empowered him. He has power over you. He can say, Jeremy, you remember when you did this? I can say, oh, gosh, God. And then I can go, even this looks like, I can get on my knees and say, please forgive me, please forgive me, please forgive me. But God's saying, for what? You're forgiven. I don't even know what you're talking about. Something I committed years ago, I don't have to repent for that again. It died on the cross. So when the devil comes with your past, you don't give him power unless you believe the lie he's speaking. Here's another one. Nobody notices you, Jeremy. Nobody notices you. Nobody cares about you. Father, I thank you that you care for me, and that's all that matters. You notice me. Your eyes on me. And if everybody around me, I don't live for them to love me. I'm created to be love. If you get one thing for this sermon right now, one thing, take this down, seal it in your heart, wake up every morning, nobody owes me nothing. One thing, if you just wake up every morning and say, you know what? Nobody owes me a thing. I live for you, God. I'm here to serve. I'm here to love. I'm here to walk in truth. I live to love. Nobody owes me nothing. That's when your boss comes at you and doesn't treat you right. He don't owe me nothing. He doesn't know Jesus. And you're free. Even Christians. Maybe you're in here right now and you're in unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is drinking poison, hoping the other person to die. That's what unforgiveness is. You're drinking poison, hoping the other person would die. You're killing yourself. You're fighting yourself. You think you're hurting the other person by being mad at them, you're killing yourself. Wake up every morning. Nobody owes me a thing. I live for your name, God. I live for your glory. I was created to shine a light for you. I was created Christ in me, the hope of glory. We hear people say, you know, this is true. Christ in me, God gets all the glory. But glory is any manifest attribute of God. So Christ in me, the hope of being made known through me. That's the purpose of your life. To know him and to reveal him. But you can't reveal him if everybody that comes to you gets you ticked off, mad, hurt, broken, upset, frustrated. Nobody owes you nothing. Jesus paid. He died on the cross for you. He said, Jeremy, will you marry me? That sounds weird to guys, but it's not. Listen, girls, if you're a girl, if you're a daughter, you're a son. And men, your bride. Women are sons, and men are brides. We're equals in the kingdom, guys. But listen, it's not the trial. It's just every time he comes at me with a trial, I want him to be responsible to pushing me towards God, not away from God. So when he comes and attacks me, he's actually pushing me. And every time he touches me, I'm, Father, 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 I love you, I love you. And then every time he touches me again, here I am again. And next thing he knows, he's hurting himself. I said it a few weeks ago, the sword that Goliath pointed at David, David used it to cut off his head. The trial in your life right now that is pointing, the sword that is pointing at you, if you walk in him, you will use it to backfire on the enemy. This is truth, man. Come on. I love the song. This is how I fight my battles. This is how I fight my battles. It may look like I'm surrounded, but I'm surrounded by you. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. The struggling Christian mindset, you know, we all have been there, but we don't have to live there. The Bible says to walk, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If you walk in the Spirit, see, we're not supposed to ping pong in and out of the Spirit. We're supposed to live by the Spirit. Do you have moments of flesh? But let's quit being so flesh conscious, cut that off, and walk in the Spirit. If you trip and stumble, I ain't going to sit in that for 2 days. And God, forgive me 100 times. You think that's arrogant? It's not. It's saying false humility says, God, I'm not worthy of your forgiveness. If my son come up to me and said, Dad, I'm sincerely sorry for that, I'm going to say, well, you're not worthy. I guess I'll forgive you. If my son comes up to me and says, Dad, I'm so sorry. Son, thank you. You repented. That's called repentance. You're forgiven. Forget it. See, forgiveness restores you back to the place as if it never happened. So the stumble that you made, if you come to God sincerely, God, I didn't want to do that. Pure in heart is everything. Sincerity. You go to God with sincerity. I don't want to do that, God. I don't want to do that. And he's like, good. It was an accident. You repent, you get up, you forget it. You forget it. You don't live as someone that made that mistake, even if it's one that keeps coming. You keep falling into that trap. It'll stop if you keep on repenting and walking in love, walking in truth. He's forming you in that place. See, none of the God, all his blessings are what? Yes and amen. All his blessings are yes and amen. All these spiritual blessings that you see in this word that you can walk in are yes and amen. But they're only the currency to unlock them. They're free, they're given, but the currency to unlock them is faith. God can only move through faith if you don't believe it. His hand, he made it that way. If you're walking in doubt, fear, and worry, he's sitting there with these blessings saying, I want to give them to you, but I can't. You have to believe, God, you call me this. God, you say this. God, this is true. And when you do that, his grace comes in, supernatural empowerment to equip you to walk in it. Faith, when we get squeezed, Christ should come out. When we get squeezed, Jesus should come out. See, what the storm, the enemy brings a storm to take. But the God intends it to make. The enemy sends a storm to steal. God uses it to build. I mean, it doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what's going on, what's coming on against your life. Real stuff. We can take joy in it. We can walk in love. We can walk in power. We can walk in Him. And when something comes, I'm not going to run and say, oh God, what am I going to do? Why are you doing this to me, God? That's a bad one. Because when you do that, when you think that he's doing it to you, you're cutting yourself from intimacy. When you say, God, why are you doing this to me? What's going on, God? Why you? Did Meshach, Shadrach, and Abednego ever say that? God, why? Why? They said, even if you don't deliver us, I will not bow. I'm not going to blame God. I'm going to rejoice in what he's going to form in me. Faith is everything. If you see clear, you will live clear. He's so good, guys. I mean, no fire can burn me. No battle can turn me. No mountain can stop me because you hold my hand. He doesn't leave you orphans. That's the biggest problem. We feel like he's abandoned us in it or something when he's there the whole time. He's there the whole time. We feel like he's left us when he's there all the time. A lot of times we don't know him as our shield, until we're staring down the face of arrows. When we see arrows, then he becomes our shield. Usually in the trial, when it looks like it's coming, that's when we get to know him as our shield and our strength. If you don't go through the trial, you may not get to know him the way that you're entitled to know him. God revealed himself to ways I would have never knew him if I didn't go through what I went through. Maybe your family isn't following after Jesus. We pray, we continue in faith, we believe. But there's free will, guys. And we pour in, we minister. But we... Our hands, we can't condemn ourselves for something they're walking in. God's the perfect father and not everybody's following him. So if you think you're a bad parent, a bad father, because you're maybe one of your family members ain't walking in him, look at God. He's the perfect one. And not everybody's following after Jesus. Don't give up on them, but don't take the blame of condemnation on yourself. The voice of condemnation is never from God. Condemnation is never for God. But if you're living in flesh and living in sin, you're condemning yourself. But condemnation's never from God. If you're walking in the Spirit and you hear that, well, I should have did this, I should have did that, I need to be doing this. Constantly examining yourself, self-conscious, aware of yourself. What am I doing? What do I need to be doing? That's not free either. Seek Him, pursue Him, allow Him to work out the kinks along the way. But we gonna leave here and raise a hallelujah. We're going to leave here and the circumstance may not be changed. We're going to pray that it is going to change, though. We're going to speak to the mountain. And I believe with all my heart the mountain will bow. Because it has to. The name of Jesus is above all names. And without doubt, we're going to speak to mountains today in y'all's life. We're going to do altar call for anybody that needs to come up. We're going to do altar call. But anybody in here that is going through something, as we do altar call, we're gonna stand, we're gonna pray and speak to each and every one of you guys, and mountains are gonna be broken. But more than anything, something's gonna be formed in you so you can walk through it, through the fire. And selfish gospel, I'm dying to it. It's not all about me. It's all about Him. When it's all about you, you'll grow tired and weary in going to church and doing these things. But when it's all about you, when it's all about Him, oh gosh, you just keep getting filled up. The more you pour out, the more He fills you. The more you give, the more you want to give. Can we sing Raise a Hallelujah again? Good deal. All right, let's all stand. And these altars are open to anybody. Don't believe the lie if you come to this altar, you got something wrong with you. Man, when I went to this conference in Alabama a few months ago, I was at the altar every time. Like, I was there every time because I wanted to receive. I wanted just more of Him. This altar isn't just for you if you got a bad problem or people's not going to look at Him. Well, He's got something going on. No. This altar is for a place of transformation, change. This altar is a place to lay it down and say, God, I want to walk in this. I want you. I want more of you. It doesn't matter how close you're walking to Him. If not, we're going to pray over you guys anyways. And I know each and everybody in here, as we bow our head and close our eyes, that there's a mountain in your life. And I want you to think of it, picture it in your mind, whatever it may be. And I'm going to pray, and then we're going to raise a hallelujah. We're going to raise a hallelujah and leave free from the mountain. Even if it doesn't move right away, we're not going to be moved. The mountain may not change, but we're going to change. Father, right now, I just release your touch, God. Father, I speak to each and every mountain in people's minds right now, God, that is owning them, God. Each and every mountain, Father, right now, that is crushing them, Father, right now, I speak to it in the name of Jesus. And I command it to be gone. I command it to be gone. I say, mountain, bow down. I say, mountain, bow down in the name of Jesus. No more, no more, no more. Be gone in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father, for the people right now who's saying, God, I want you. Thank you right now, Father, for the people that's saying, God, this mountain's been owning me, but I'm ready for change. I'm ready for change, and I'm ready to walk free from this mountain. I'm ready to walk in love and walk in freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.